Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 432. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. It's absolutely free of charge. Please specify whether you'd like a tape or an audio, rather a CD, and we'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. We're even including the postage and handling. We want you to be saved. We want you to listen over these programs many times because, you know, the human mind is made out of the dirt of the ground, and it's not capable of remembering things that well. Sure, we remember bad, evil things that have happened unto us during our life, but of course the Bible states that this Word of God, which is the seed of God, gets sown into a person's heart, and then Satan cometh immediately to take it out. And that's why it's important for you to believe the Word of God, which says the reproof of the Word of God. In other words, the more oftentimes you hear it, that is the way to eternal life. Now, of course, the human beings, they like to think of themselves as something exceedingly great. But this doctrine of God is actually offensive to mankind, since man is, he feels of himself that he is like the center or the ultimate end of everything, that he's really like a god. And he would reverse God's role as a god and usurp God's throne. And that's what you see happening today. And dear people in Radio Land, this is something that you dastn't do. First, the ultimate determination is not man's. Nothing is, because you don't know one minute from the next whether you're going to live or not. So the Bible says, cease ye from man. Cease, all you people in the world, cease ye from man, in whose nose is one breath. For how lightly is he to be thought of? And he, at best, is only partially aware of his own nature, just very slightly knowledgeable of it. It involves a search for an impossible and non-existent wisdom in terms of an autonomy, or in other words, you feel that you are a nation unto yourself, the autonomy of man, which is mythological. Man is believes in myths, and when you give some people compliments, I mean, they get so puffed up that if you put a pin in them, they'd you'd see them blown up and stuck to walls all around the room. Amen?
Amen.
And they are irrational. Dreams, therefore, have an important part in the book of Daniel. Man is tormented by the ghost of the future and the unknown. And he's made mindful against his wishes of the tendency of his rebellion and the insanity of man's claims. So second, Daniel is offensive to everyone around him because it is, it sets forth, and everyone that reads it, it sets forth predictive prophecy, just like the book of Revelation does, in its plainest form. It's not poetic at all, but it's very blunt and unvarnished, unmistakable. That's why people hate it. They hate the Word of God. Written on its claim in the 6th century B.C. by Daniel, it charts the course of empire, of all empires for centuries. And there are only five major empires, and it lists them all. And this is the fourth empire that we're living in, and the book of Daniel tells us that the Lord is going to come soon and destroy this empire. He's actually destroying it now by the preaching of the Word of God through His servants, the saints that are on earth today. And woe be unto those that call themselves Christians, and they're not Christians at all. They're like Caligula. He would say maybe he's a Christian as well. And so it sets forth the coming of Christ and the establishment of the church, the body of Christ, which are the members, the different members of the body of Christ. I don't want to go too much over your heads this evening, but I want to talk about something that maybe you'll understand a little bit better, all right? And that would be the chapter 24 of the book of Matthew, where it talks about the coming of Christ, and he tells the different signs that would happen. But so many people are fearful because they really don't know how to get rid of their sins. And there's so many empty words that come from false prophets. It leads so many people astray. And a lot of people say, you know, the blood of Jesus was shed primarily for me. No, the blood of Jesus is primarily for God. God wants to see the blood on your soul. He doesn't want to see sin there at all. And if you sin, well, there's scriptures that talk about that very much so. The blood of Jesus is primarily for God. The blood in the Old Testament was for atonement and has to do first with our standing before God. We need forgiveness for the sins that we have committed. Father God, I ask that you anoint this service, that you pour out your Spirit, that everything that is that you want done on this program, that you force me to do it. You really don't have to force me, just let me know what it is, and I will say it. I will do it, Lord. Pour out your Spirit, anoint this program, that souls in the world will be saved, and the church, your body, will be strengthened. Now, another thing, too, is that a lot of people, they don't understand what it means to deny yourself, to take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two different aspects there. Number one is to deny yourself. That's something that you must do yourself. But you need the Spirit of God to do that, and you also need the Spirit of the God, the Spirit of Christ in you, to take up the cross and follow the Lord, because following the Lord is something else. And I'm going to be bringing a message on that tomorrow. And so I'm just touching on a few of the topics. Now the Bible says, we're going right here into the book of Hebrews before we start with our singing here. Let's see. We'll go to Hebrews, what chapter is that? Chapter 10, yeah, verse 26. For it were, if we sin willfully after having been washed in the blood. Now that's what I'm bringing this message here on, the blood. The blood, God has to see the blood. And if you sin, then the Lord can't see the blood anymore. Okay? And he says, if I see the blood, then I'll pass over you. But it says here in Hebrews, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. And when we accept the blood of Jesus and the Spirit, the water of separation, we know the truth because we're able to see God. We're able to see the Word of God then. There remains no more sacrifice for sins. Now, Christ sacrificed himself once for us, that the blood, so that God could see the blood on us. He would not see our sins anymore. So the blood of Jesus is primarily for God, not us. The blood in the Old Testament was for atonement and for the forgiveness of sins, and has to do first with our standing before God. Has to do with the way we stand before God. So we need forgiveness for the sins that we have committed. And then after we've been forgiven for our sins, and the Lord can then see the blood, because he doesn't forgive any sins unless there's blood. You receive the blood of Jesus by faith over your entire being. He washes all the sins away. And then you deny yourself the things of this world, because the things of this world is the things that put that sin on your soul in the first place. You understand?
Amen.
Okay, so now he says, now deny yourself your desires, your ideas, and the things that you think of, and think about me now. So we have to, so the first, the things that, the atonement, the blood of Jesus, has to do first with our standing before God. Because if we have been forgiven for our sins, and then we go back, that we have received the knowledge of God, of the truth, there remains, after we sin willfully, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, because Christ isn't going to come back and sacrifice himself again for you. Once was enough. Verse 27 in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment by God and fiery indignation, which shall devour you, the adversaries. You people that have made yourself adversaries against God and his people and your own soul. Because, first of all, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or more witnesses. Two or three witnesses, it says, or more. Then verse 29 goes on to say, of how much sorer, how much worse punishment suppose you that you shall he be thought worthy of, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and the blood that he shed for you, and hath counted the blood that covered your sins so that God could see that you're not a sinner no more. And if you go sinning again, well, then you're still a sinner. I mean, how stupid can you be? He hath, so it says, if you willfully go back to sin, then you've counted the blood of the covenant, the blood that Jesus shed for you to cover you with, wherewith he was sanctified. You were sanctified, and you thought it to be an unholy thing, just like you are, and hath done despite unto the Holy Spirit of power. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, saith the Lord. I will recompense. I will return the compliment, Señor. I will get you. So, the thing that we must remember when we ask God to pour the blood of Jesus over us so that he can see the blood on us, that we don't let our mind go a-whoring, that we don't start thinking of the things of this world and all the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We have to put that under. The blood of Jesus is primarily for God to see, because he doesn't want to look at you if you're full of sin. So if the blood is there, you've accepted the blood, you've accepted Christ as your atonement, then you must keep Christ as your atonement, according to the Bible. The blood in the Old Testament was for atonement, and has to do first with our standing before God. We need forgiveness for the sins we have committed once and for all, because he's not going to come back and die again for you because you happen to be a slothful believer. You're not believing at all. The reason for that is because if we don't have the blood of the sins, the blood on us for the sins that we have committed, we come under judgment. So if God sees the sins coming up through the blood of Jesus, and your dirty, filthy lusts in your mind just keeps thinking of filthy things, adultery, fornication, and all these things, and our sins are forgiven by the blood, not because God overlooks what we have done. He doesn't overlook that at all. Who doesn't overlook sin? You false prophets out there that say that he does. He doesn't overlook it, but because he sees the blood, and that the blood remains on you, only the blood of Jesus. The blood is therefore not primarily for us, but for God. If I want to understand the value of Christ's blood that God allowed to be shed for my sins, I have to have the value of it. I have to be covered in the blood at all time. I can't sin anymore because I'm putting him out to an open shame. And what saith the scriptures? It says, the blood of Jesus, the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. If I think of it as an unholy thing that I can still just keep sitting and thinking of evil things and let the devil bombard my mind without rebuking him, if I think of it as an unholy thing, the blood of Jesus, and if I've done despite unto the Holy Spirit of God of power, then what do I expect? There's just a fearful looking for judgment and the lake of fire forever. Therefore, the blood of Jesus is not primarily for us, but for God to see. If I want to understand the value of the blood, I must accept God's assessment of the value of his son's blood that miserable humanity caused to be shed. And it was our sins that he had to come and die for. Hell is so bad that he had to come and go through all the misery of human living. And he had to go through the beating, and they pulled his beard out and beat him to pieces. I must accept God's value of Christ's blood. It's so valuable that if you ignore it and trample under it underfoot, then you, according to God, who is the truth, are going to spend eternity in hell. All you're going to look for after you do something like that is judgment. At the judgment, the great white throne of God. And if I do not know something of the value set upon the blood of Jesus by God, I shall never know what its value is for me. And therefore, I'll just let Satan play with my brain and with my mind and with my soul. We're not to be led by our soul. We're to be worshipers of God by our Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. Our spirit in us. Our spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but our spirit has to be fully overpower. It has to be worshiping the Lord. And we can't be worshiping the Lord if we've got our mind on the world. We can't follow the Lord if our mind is on us. If we have our mind on us and us alone, there's certain people in this world that that's all they think about is themselves. It's obvious those people are so disgusted because all they think about is themselves. They never think about anyone else but themselves, and they never think about following Jesus. They never think about denying themselves because their whole selves are for themselves. It is only as the estimate that God puts upon the blood of Jesus is made known to me. God values the blood of Jesus. The Word of God came into this world, God himself, as a man and had human, genuine blood and shed it for us so that we could walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. so that God could see that we are covered in the blood. If God doesn't see our sins covered in the blood, then we can call on him all day long and he's not going to hear us. It's the blood of Jesus that separates us from sinners and separates us from sin. His word is spirit and life. That I come into his good, into the good of the blood myself, and find how precious indeed the blood of Jesus is to me. Why, it's my very life. The life is in the blood. Amen?
Amen.
The life, Christ is the life, and his blood, if it stays on me and I no longer walk after the flesh, but after the blood. Now, the flesh is for us. You know, when the Lord said, put the blood of Jesus, put the blood of this lamb on the lintel and on the doorpost, that was for him to see, so that he didn't wipe out all the people in the buildings, in their houses. And then he told the children to go in and eat the flesh. Eat the flesh. So the flesh was for us to eat the flesh of Christ, and the blood covers us from all sin. Our past sin. He doesn't want us. If we sin by ignorance, well, then we can be forgiven. But if we continue on just selfish, thinking only of ourselves instead of Christ, who really is the only something in the whole universe, but we think about our rotten, filthy, scummy self, and the Lord takes health away and happiness away, and he makes people lose respect for you because you're selfish. You're yourself instead of Christ's. You're not following Christ if you're selfish. How can you, if all you think about yourself is, how can you think of Christ? Amen? Yeah. How can you follow Christ if all you're following is your moods?
Amen.
Your ideas, your principles. But the first aspect of the blood of Jesus is for God, Godward. Remember that in the Old Testament that the Lord says, when I see the blood, not your sins. He says, when I see the blood, not your sins. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I won't destroy you. I'll send the destroying angel over you. But if I see sin on your soul, I'm going to send the destroying angel unto you, and you're going to die. I'm going to strip you down to where you can't even breathe right. You're going to be belching. You're going to be like a walking volcano. Throughout the Old and New Testament, the word, quote, blood is used in connection with the idea of atonement for sin. I think over 100 times, and throughout, it is something for God to see. When he sees the blood, he sees Christ. He doesn't see that selfish you. He sees you following Christ, because if you will not follow Christ, the blood of Jesus is getting trampled on, and you're right back as a sinner, even worse than you were before you were saved, because you're rejecting the Lord of glory and the blood that was shed for you. In the Old Testament calendar, there is one day that has a tremendous bearing on the matter of our sins. And that day is the Day of Atonement. Nothing explains the question of sin so clearly as the description of the Day of Atonement. It's in Leviticus chapter 16. We find that on the Day of Atonement, the blood was taken from the sin offering. Back then it was symbolized by animals, clean animals, not pigs that are filth or other animals that are scavengers, and they are not clean animals for us to eat. And some people don't know the scriptures well enough to know that we're still not to eat them. Those sheets that came down that Peter saw were not symbolic of food that we can eat. They're symbolic of now God symbolizes the different nations as birds and four-footed animals and so on. They're just symbolic of the Gentile nations. But the blood was taken from the sin offering and brought into the most holy place. And there, the whole Old Testament was strictly blood. The blood of Jesus, be covered in the blood. One time I looked up and I saw the entire sky, it was red blood. And the Lord says, that's how much the blood of Jesus is able to take away the sins of the whole world. The former sins of the whole world, and of course the sins of ignorance. But the most holy place, and even when people commit sins of ignorance, they should be on their face before God, asking God to cover them in the blood of Jesus. And I think right now is a good time for us to have one of the sisters. I never heard of this sister before. It's just amazing. She thinks there's power in the blood. And I love the way that she, when she sings it, it isn't like a real happy song. It's like there's power in the blood. You can tell that she really means it. Her name is Linda Randall. So let's let her sing for us, There's Power in the Blood. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. That was Linda Randall. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And this blood was taken from the sin offering, and Jesus is our sin offering, and brought into the most holy place, and it's brought before God. And Jesus, in so many words, is saying, Father, this person is okay. Now he's covered in the blood, and he said that he's going to deny himself now. and just keep covering in the blood on a daily basis and get his eyes off the world, sin, Satan, the world, and the flesh. And he's just going to keep learning the Word until the Holy Spirit from the Word of God is Spirit and it is life, until the life of God is so drenched into him or her that, and the blood keeps staying on that person. And never going to sin against the blood of Jesus, because then there'll be nothing but a fearful waiting for the day of judgment, because Christ isn't going to come back and die again. He says, I am he who was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. I'm not coming back to die for you again. So make sure you don't sin again. So he brought this sin offering into the most holy place, and there's sprinkled before the Lord the blood of which was symbolic of the blood of Jesus 7 times. It was. We must be very clear about the blood of atonement on that day. You got to really, really know it in your mind. You say, you got to meditate on that. Some people say, well, how do you meditate? You meditate the same way that you worry all the time. You know, there's all kinds of things that come into this my ears every day about people going to do this and that to me and all that. But I don't meditate on that. I don't worry about anything. Even if the money becomes scarce, you know, to get help people out and to get the gospel out. I don't really worry about that. I just keep the blood of Jesus on me. Amen?
Amen.
And say, Lord, if this is what you want, if you want the ministry to go on, well, then send the money in, and I'm not worried about it. I meditate on the blood of the atonement. And on the day, you know, that Jesus washed my sins away. The sin offering was offered publicly. Christ was in the... Everybody that wanted to see him, being his blood being shed, could have come in the public, in the court of the tabernacle. Everything was there in full view and could be seen by the entire congregation. But the Lord commanded that no man should enter the tabernacle so far as itself is concerned, except the high priest. There was only one. And there's only one high priest now, and that's Jesus. There's only one mediator to the throne of God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. He's the one that spilled his blood for us to be saved. Mary didn't do anything. She brought him forth. She was an incubator, okay? So, really, it's she was a nice Jewish girl. She was a very godly girl, but she's not deity, and you're not to pray to her, okay? If you do, you're going to, the blood of Jesus is going to come off of you, and God's not going to see the blood. And if you go out to eternity, there's just nothing but sins that he's going to see. And every sinner has to spend eternity in the lake of fire. It's so good for us that Jesus came and shed his blood for us so that all of our sins could be covered. God won't see the sin. He just sees the blood. And the blood of who? His dear son. His beloved son, Christ Jesus, on us. And therefore, he has mercy on us. Not because of us, but because of his blood. His son's blood. Amen?
Amen.
That he shed willingly for us. So only the high priest could go in, and only the high priest can go into the most holy place. We pray to Jesus, and he sends our prayers to God. We must pray in the name of Jesus. All right? And then he takes away our sins. It was the high priest alone who took the blood, and going into the most holy place, sprinkled it there to make atonement. Before the Lord. You may wonder why. Why? It's because the high priest was a type, a symbol, a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ in his redemptive work that he did here. And in his job as mediator from now to eternity. These scriptures are in Hebrews 9, 11, and 12. And so the figure, type, or symbol, he was the one who did the work. Jesus did all that. Amen?
Amen.
No one but him, our high priest, our mediator, could even draw near to enter the most holy place but Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Well, these high priests, and there was never such a thing as a Catholic cult priest. I mean, they're pedophiles, and they never get prosecuted because they're Catholics, because they're part of the Antichrist. What do you think Jesus thinks about these Catholic priests? He says the sins, the horrible sins on them, and they need to ask forgiveness and get those sins covered with the blood. Because only when God sees the blood that is washed away, he sees no more sin, will you be able to enter the most holy place. He has made us priests and kings now, so that we can go boldly before the throne of God and ask the Lord for different petitions we can send. And he answers our petitions because he sees the blood of his precious Son on our souls. But if you just think of your rotten self, there is to be no more self. Christ gave himself for us, and we are to give ourselves to Christ for what his purpose is. Amen?
Amen.
And on top of this, connected with his going in there, the high priest, was but one act. Now, namely, the presentation of the blood, which was symbolic of the blood of Jesus to God as something he had accepted. Nothing. The lighting of candles, the ringing of bells, the giving of money. There isn't anything that can take away sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Not God will not accept anything else but that. He doesn't want any sin on your soul. I don't care how wealthy you are. I don't care how many basketballs you put in the hoop. How many people you knock out, that isn't going to do any good for you. Doesn't matter how much money you give, nothing like that is going to be accepted by God. Something which God could find satisfaction of is only the blood of his dear Son. When he sees his Son on you, his life-giving blood on you, that satisfies God. God is satisfied. It was a transaction between the high priest and God in the sanctuary, away from the eyes of the men who were to be benefited by the blood. Sure, we benefit from it if we keep ourselves covered, if we continue on not sinning. The Lord required this very thing. That's what he requires. The blood is therefore in the first place, not for ourselves in the first place, but for God to see. So even earlier than this, it is described in Exodus 12:13, the shedding of the blood of the Passover lamb in Egypt for Israel's salvation or redemption, their deliverance. This is again, one of the very best types in the Old Testament of our redemption, our salvation, is to be covered in the blood of Jesus. By faith, we're covered. The blood was put on the lintel and on the doorposts, whereas the meat, the flesh of the lamb, was eaten by the people that are covered. It was eaten inside, where the inside the house, where no one could see. Amen?
Amen.
You're chewing that lamb, the meat. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So here we have another illustration of the fact that the blood was not meant to be presented to man, but to God. Amen?
Amen.
For the blood was put on the lintel and on the doorposts where the feasting inside the house would not see it, the feasting. The feasters, those that were eating inside, they couldn't see it anymore, but the Lord saw it. There's much more of this message to come on this subject, okay? Most people really don't understand the blood of Jesus. They don't understand what it means to deny yourself. If you don't deny yourself, you cannot possibly follow the Lord. If you put yourself first, that's why the Lord in the New Testament also says, put others before you, because you're nothing. Because be like Jesus, he put us first. Amen?
Amen.
We were the pearl of great price. And if we don't make him the pearl of great price to us, well then, what do you expect but to spend eternity in the lake of fire? Now we've got some testimonies today. I didn't think I was going to be getting into the blood of Jesus, but the Lord really wanted me to do that. Okay, so go ahead and read some of the... we've got two testimonies. Where's the first one from?
From Houston, Texas.
You showed me a big stack of testimonies, but we can't do them all on one program. I figured that you people would like to hear, and God figures, and that's why he's telling me to talk about the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't have the blood of Jesus, then you're very uncertain. You are always, you know, you're never happy. If you think there's sin on your soul, and then you start muttering to yourself, and people start thinking you're crazy, and sometimes people have been put in the mental institutions because there's no peace to the wicked. They're like the raging sea in the mire. That the sea kicks up. They're just tossed about like waves. One minute they're happy, the next minute they're like scared to death, scared out of their wits, because they knew the blood of Jesus. They knew the good word of God. They knew all the things that the Lord says are ours. And then they just let the devil tell them, don't listen to him. Don't listen to the Word of God. Don't listen to those that preach the Word of God, but listen to me, this satanic spirit says. But praise the Lord for these letters that come in. They showed me a stack of them today, and I said, we can't possibly get to them. Where's the first one from?
From Houston, Texas.
Okay.
A lady named Judy called the 24-hour prayer and information line. She said that she is saved and has for years been troubled that she has not heard the churches and Christians that she is around being warned of the conspiracies that are happening in the world today.
The conspiracy really is against the Word of God and the blood of Jesus, because Satan does not want your soul to go to heaven. Satan wants you. He wants you in hell with him and in the lake of fire. And some people smile about that. I don't see anything funny about that at all. You're not serious with the Word of God or the blood of Jesus. It's always somebody that's tripping all the time. Then what?
And when she has tried to inform some of her friends, they look at her like she is crazy.
When in reality, they're crazy.
Amen.
Then what?
Judy prayed and asked the Lord if there was anyone preaching the full Word of God. Yesterday, Judy found your website, and the first thing she heard was Pastor Lamo singing Onward Christian Soldiers. Judy said, I felt courage rise up in me. She also said that this song alone brings the message to Christians to stand strong for the Lord. Judy said she immediately started studying from Pastor Lamo's website and said she felt like she was at a Christian seminar and felt very connected, finding out that Pastor Lamo is Jewish, being Jewish herself. Judy said, Pastor Lamo's teachings are strong. He is a rabbi. He has the boldness. Judy is planning to go to services at the Texarkana Area Church and is looking forward to studying under Pastor Lamo and is going to form a group to study together in Houston using information from Pastor Lamo's website.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Then what?
Then from Balaka, Malawi, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through God our Father and His Son Jesus Christ our Lord. I would like to thank you for the tapes entitled How to Have God's Life Living in You that you sent to me. I thank you for your wonderful messages. Through these tapes, here in Balaka District, many people, like Muslims, have been reached for Christ and have been delivered from the devil. May God bless you, Pastor. My request, Pastor, is that I need two things which are very important. I need a megaphone. This is most important. And secondly, I need Bibles, many newsletters, and many of your books and tapes. I want to share them with my friends who have repented from their sins. I want to seek first the kingdom of God rather than food and money. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. I pray and ask for long life for you as well as peace and prosperity. Yours in the Lord, Alfred from Balaka, Malawi, Africa.
All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, we were in the book of Judges, Sharon, so let's start out where we left off. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes here.
Verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them.
See, back then, you know, you could once a month get your sins forgiven because the Spirit of God did not enter into people, and it wasn't the true atonement. They didn't have enough Bible there. And so the Lord had mercy on them and let them repent once a month, so long as it wasn't sins unto death. If they committed a sin unto death, like homosexuality, or if they blasphemed God, they were put to death immediately. You know, there was no such thing as comics back then that made fun of God, or you used the word of God loosely or in vain. And if people committed adultery, they were put to death immediately. And they were put to death immediately. And homosexuals, fornicators, people like that, and people that did not keep the commandments of the Lord, they were put to death. So go ahead. But now, after the Holy Spirit enters you, when you ask Jesus to wash you in the blood, and all your former sins are taken away, now there's no excuse, because He's not going to forgive you anymore. There's no more atonement. There's no more forgiveness. It's not once a month anymore. He says, there's no more forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
I just got through reading it to you in the book of Hebrews. Amen?
Amen.
So, let's go right here again. Of how much sorer punishment? You know, in the time of Moses, they were put to death. Suppose you shall he be a thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, which is the Word of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, where you were washed so that God could see you as the blood of Jesus, an unholy thing. You thought that the blood of Jesus is unholy. That's the only thing that can save your soul. And hath done despite unto the Spirit of the power of God. Okay, Sharon, go ahead. So now you don't get the benefits of the Old Testament where you can just keep sinning and then get forgiven next month. There's no more forgiveness, the Bible says. Okay, go ahead.
And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies, all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings, by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them.
And God got tired of that, you know, sinning and delivering them, and sinning and delivering them. So He sent His Son into the world to give you power. The law came with Moses, but power came with Jesus. Amen. Amen. In power and what else?
Truth.
The truth, which means that there's no more forgiveness unless you, if you put the blood of Jesus out to open shame and count it to be an unholy thing. Okay, then what?
And it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them.
That's ridiculous to follow other gods. Then what, to finish that off?
And to bow down unto them, they cease not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died.
No, but when you ask the blood of Jesus over you, when you ask Jesus to forgive you of all your former sins, he takes them away. And that's what we're going to do, is give you an opportunity right now. The Lord wants you to have this opportunity. And it's he that is running this program. And he's calling out to you so that you're not despised by the Lord, but that he sees the blood of his only begotten Son, his precious Son, on your soul. Say this prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe he died on the cross and he shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that you'll raise me from the dead if I continue on with the Spirit in me and the blood of Jesus on me. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Praise the Lord now and give him all the glory and thanks now. Here's Sharon to tell you of four different ways that you receive a copy of this program, number 432. It's free of charge, including postage and handling. Remember, program number 432. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerful, inspiring message from the Lord himself for your benefit. And because of the sister that loved the song Onward Christian Soldiers and it gave her strength, I'm going to sing it again for her tonight. Onward Christian Soldiers. This is for you as well.
National attention has been focused on banner headlines proclaiming Christians are being kidnapped, tortured, committed to mental institutions, accused of brainwashing and mind control. Arise, Christian America. The King is coming. Hold fast. The day of the Lord is here.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner.